Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Friday, September 27th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adioye, and joining me, we got OK Beasts, Alex Van Aken. Woo! Alex, yeah. Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing good, dude. Thanks so much for having me.
Dude, I mean, thanks for being here, man.
You could have had Adam Sessler. You could have had all these other people.
Yeah, dude.
You wasted a slot on me.
Yeah. But I mean, it's great to have you here because, of course, you're with me on OK Beast.
Yes.
OK Beast is a website where we cover video games a lot like Kind of Funny.
Mm-hmm.
We do podcasts, videos, and articles. For you, what's like the quick pitch that you would give to people on OK Beast for them to check it out?
Sure. So OK Beast, you can find us at okbeast.com. Like Blessing said, we do podcasts. I think our flagship show would be the OK Beast podcast.
Yeah.
Comes out every Monday.
Yep. That's hosted by you.
Yeah, hosted by me.
Yep.
We have the Jumpmaster Show, which is the number one Apex Legends podcast.
Can we confirm that? Do we know?
When was
the last time we checked?
Oh, it's confirmed.
Okay.
It's confirmed.
Confirmed by?
By me.
Okay. I trust you.
We have a team on the ground confirming these facts.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
But that is hosted by one Blessing. Yep. And then we also do videos over at youtube.com/okbeast. If you like more in-depth dives into videos, we try to do our best at bringing some creative videos your way, video essays, analysis, opinions, all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I'd say that's OK Beast in a nutshell.
Yeah, and I definitely recommend people check out the OK Beast podcast. It's one of the most fun things I do every single week. I really enjoy it. And I think from what I've heard from people, like lately especially, like people have really enjoyed what we brought to that show. It's a very goofy, very strange video game podcast because it's very much us just bringing our own humor to it. But yeah, definitely check out OK Beast podcast. And on the OK Beast podcast, every episode, I usually start off by asking you a strange question.
You do.
Or a risky question.
Yeah.
Or just
the
any
tables
question.
Are turned today, though, because you're hosting.
I am so hosting. But that's not going to stop me.
Oh, okay.
That's not going to stop me. Alex Van Aken.
Yes.
Who is your favorite member of Kind of Funny?
Oh. I mean, Barrett did buy me McDonald's this morning.
Yeah.
So
that's fair.
That's kind of putting him up there.
That's fair.
And he also listens to the OK Beast podcast.
It's one of the few podcasts I actually listen to weekly.
There you go. So, I mean, right now the cards are stacked in Barrett's favor, I think.
Yeah,
fair.
Quick question, guys.
Yeah.
If someone wanted to support OK Beast, where would they go to do that?
You can go to patreon.com/OKBeast to support OK Beast monetarily. And also, you can go there to even check out like more of the stuff we're doing. We have an exclusive podcast there called Stir Fry, which is our non-gaming show. It's our general chat show where we just goof off and talk about whatever.
Nice.
And that's for $1 over on patreon.com/OKBeast.
There you go.
But enough about us. Let's get into the show. So today's stories include a new Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order trailer, an update on The Last of Us Part 2 multiplayer, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free. A few things for housekeeping. If it's Wednesday, it is not Wednesday. Sorry. I included a thing on the doc that I shouldn't have included on the doc. Thank you to our Patreon producers, patreon.com/re-retro-games, Blackjack, and Muhammad Muhammad. Today, we're brought to you by Upstart, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A motherfucking OK Peacemakers dozen!
Hey, and we're starting off with a brand new Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order trailer that just dropped. This comes from Engadget's Igor B. I abbreviated it because I would butcher the mess out of their last name, so I'm calling you Igor B for the time being. It reads, after providing an extended gameplay look at Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order earlier this year, EA and Respawn have released a new story-focused trailer for their upcoming action-adventure game. The trailer opens with Cal Kestis, the game's protagonist, escaping from Second Sister, one of the Imperial Inquisitors tasked with hunting down the last of the Jedi. Cal is saved by Sierre Junda, a Jedi Knight in hiding. And Barrett's pulled up the trailer here if you're watching on video. Alex, me and you have both seen the trailer.
Yeah, I've watched it several times over. Number one, Cal looks exactly like Archie Anders from Riverdale. But
he does.
Besides that.
This guy plays Joker in Gotham, right?
Is it really?
I think it is, yeah.
I haven't seen Gotham.
Yeah, I haven't watched Gotham.
Interesting. What's the name of this lady right here? Oh, can you pause? Actually, go back 2 seconds.
Is that Sarah Junda?
Is that who that is?
I believe so.
Somebody in one of the YouTube comments said that she looks like Marge from Simpsons Hit and Run. Am I the only one that sees that? Do you guys see it?
I see it.
You see it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This trailer looks really good.
It does. It looks, you know, I was telling you in the car on the way over here that Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is one of those games that it was announced. It's like, oh, let's go. Like, excitement. You know, we haven't had, we had Battlefront 2, and then we had, way back, we had Force Unleashed, you know.
Yes.
As far as, like, single-player Star Wars games, there have been few and far between. And so this one is, like, just, like, for me, the hype just keeps growing. And it's almost like, it's like a silent hype. It's like, you kind of, I have forgotten about the game at times, but every time I see a trailer, it's like, it pulls me back in, you know?
Yeah, and, like, I think this is the first trailer for this game that I've watched, and I'm actually, like, very excited for what this game is going to be.
Yeah.
Like, I saw the E3 footage, and I've seen, like, the extended gameplay look, and, like, watching both of those had me looking forward to the game, but they didn't necessarily have me, like, oh, let's go, I'm ready for this. But, looking at this action right here, right, whether that is gameplay or cutscene, that looks fantastic. The boss fights look fantastic. Mm-hmm. The cutscenes look fantastic. I know the gameplay from back at E3 made it seem like a more linear, slow plotting, like almost like a Dark Souls or like a Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, because they had like the grappling hook and stuff. They made it come off like it was going to be more of that type of experience, but like even in this trailer and from what we've heard, right, like it seems like it's going to be a bit more open in terms of going back to your ship and flying to different planets. There's a scene in this trailer where you can select from the planets
almost.
You can see what planet you want to go to and fly there.
I think like all of the environmental puzzles that they're teasing, like with how you interact with the environment with your force powers, that's really exciting for me. Like it's just something to break up, not the monotony, but like, you know, you're doing more than just, you know, getting in fights.
Yeah,
right?
You're doing more than just like the linear, like, okay, I'm gonna walk down this corridor, I'm gonna fight some more,
yeah,
I'm gonna
smash
walk down
X,
this corridor,
like whatever.
Yeah, smash X, heal.
It seems way more involved, and I don't know, I'm very much looking forward to this game.
EJ writes in and says, you know, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order looks good, but I'm still on the fence about the game. I was thinking why this is, and then I realized, oh, it's EA. It's a first for me to be hesitant about a game because of a publisher, just because I don't know what shady shit they will try to pull post-launch. Maybe the game will be 4 hours long, which personally I don't mind. I'm not a person that believes a $60 game should be at least 15 hours, and anything under that is a waste. But I feel like EA will do something shady post-launch. There is a trend to add loot boxes to games 2 to 3 months after launch. I can't help shake the feeling. EA will put a lot of cool shit in this game after launch, and it will be randomized. And so EJ here thinks that that this game being in the hands of EA is probably going to mean that post-launch we could very well see some microtransactions and loot boxes and that stuff not implemented well in this game, as we've seen before. In Star Wars games. Yeah.
Battlefront 2 was, you know, was kind of a mess at launch. And I believe that they went back and, like, changed a lot of how those systems work in Battlefront 2 from recollection. But yeah, I don't know. I think single-player games, like, we've definitely seen stuff like Shadow of War. Weren't there some interesting choices
there
behind
some,
that?
In,
I didn't play it,
it. It really depends on who you ask, because you know, some people will be like, yeah, the microtransaction stuff in that game didn't hinder the experience much, but then other people will very well tell you that the end game of that game was, like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I definitely understand the hesitation. I think that's totally in your right to do. I'm not so hesitant. I feel like who was it, EJ?
Yeah.
They referenced the Apex Legends during.
Yeah.
For people who aren't aware, there was something called the Iron Crown Collection event, and essentially there was a very rare item locked behind a series of loot boxes that you had to purchase. And I believe that if you added all of it up, all the cost up plus the purchase of the actual item you were trying to unlock, it was like over $200. I think in that case there was definitely some rightful backlash, I think, as far as like, hey, this isn't cool, but I don't know. To me, it wasn't the biggest deal because it was cosmetics, and I think those are a totally optional way to play a game.
Yeah,
and maybe that's like maybe those work their way into Fallen Order. I'm not sure, but
yeah. To finish EJ's question here, right? He continues to write. I know it's Respawn making it. Mm-hmm. And they said that stuff won't be in the game. But hey, Apex Legends $150 loot boxes happened, and as the Call of Duty developer said about their PS4 exclusive deal, quote, some things are above our pay grade. So in the end, EA will have final say on what goes into Fallen Order. And
sure.
Yeah, I think I definitely understand the fear here. And I think, like, I feel similar ways in terms of the fact that, like, I'm really excited about Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, especially after watching this trailer, right? Like,
yeah,
this,
me too.
Like, all this appeals to me. Like, I really enjoy Star Wars games.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least some Star Wars games. I didn't really enjoy the last couple Battlefronts, sure, but you know.
You like the franchise though.
Yeah, like OG Battlefront on PS2, like Battlefront 1 and 2.
One of the greatest games of all time.
Thank you. Yeah, Star Wars Battlefront 2 is for sure in my top, like, top 30 for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I really want this game to be good, and I really want to love this game. And I expect, like, this game is being developed by Respawn, mm-hmm. and Respawn put out Apex Legends, wonderful, fantastic game, right? They also put out Titanfall 2, wonderful, fantastic game, right? And so, yeah, like, you know,
I think there's also a difference in a live service game and a single player game, as far as mm-hmm. you know, with a game that is ongoing, constantly being updated, something like Apex, there's more opportunity for that sort of stuff to kind of come to head, right?
Yeah.
Whereas with something that is, you know, more single player, I feel like, yeah, sure, they could patch it, but if they're saying that stuff isn't in the game, I want to believe them. You know what I mean?
I want to, but and this is one of those cases where, like, I think for me as a consumer,
mm-hmm.
I'm probably gonna wait for reviews. I'm probably going to wait for this game to come out and to actually get a clear idea of what this game is going to be.
Yeah.
Because, like, history has kind of presented, like, history tells me that, yeah, there could be some non-favorable microtransaction implementation into this game.
Sure, yeah.
I wouldn't put that past this game for who the publisher is.
Yeah.
But at the same time, right, like, knowing that it's Respawn, I'm on
kind of torn.
Yeah, I'm torn. Yeah, right, I'm pulled in between two places.
Yeah.
But do you think you're probably gonna get Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order?
Yes. I'm not sure if I will get it at launch, just because the onslaught of games, like,
there's a lot of games coming out.
The week before that, or 2 weeks before that, we're getting The Outer Worlds, then we're getting Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yeah, somewhere in there is
there's Doom Death Eternal
Stranding.
Somewhere.
Yeah, Doom Eternal, Death Stranding, in this. It's a busy fall, man.
Yeah, I want to get it. I'm just not sure what, if I have the time to, I don't know. We'll see.
Are you a Star Wars person?
Yes, yes. I'm not like Barrett level Star Wars where, you know, he's watching the Star Wars Rebels and all this stuff, and he reads the book. That's not me. I am more so, I grew up on Star Wars, the original trilogy, so I have, like, fandom there.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, like, extracurricular universal stuff in the franchise, it's not necessarily my forte, but I'm very excited for a new Star Wars game.
Barrett, you've seen the trailer.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the story elements from this trailer? Do you, like, have you been following what's been going on in the story and the narrative of this game?
I mean, like, I the obvious one is, like, it's a couple years after Episode 3, so that's really interesting because there's such a big gap there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only, like, two, like, canon movies that we've had so far that take place in between Episode 3 and 4 are Solo and Rogue One. Mm-hmm. And neither of those really deal with, like, the Jedi side of things. It's, like, about Han Solo, and then it's about the rebellions who aren't Force users and whatnot. So this is really interesting to have a story closer to Revenge of the Sith, and where Jedi are being hunted down and whatnot. And I didn't realize that it was the second sister who is hunting down I forget the lead characters.
Cal,
like, I didn't realize that was an Inquisitor, which the Inquisitors are like a big story element in Rebels, I think, in a season or two, or maybe the entire series. It's been a minute. But yeah, I'm not that.
I'm sorry I put that on you.
I'm not, like, reading, like, the comic books or, like, books or what. Like, I'm very much, like, I love the movies. I, like, finally caught up on the canon TV series, like, last year, and I like the video games, whether they're canon still or not. Like, I really liked Force Unleashed and shit like that. So
okay,
I'm really excited to see finally, like, a story in canon, because Force Unleashed is now no longer canon, I believe, of like something in between episode 3 and 4, because there's so much like interesting story of Jedi's being on the run. Like one of my favorite, when I did read the books way back when I was in middle school, there was a really interesting series. I don't know if it like lasted really long, but it was about Obi-Wan during this time trying to find other like Jedi who survived. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a really interesting concept. So story-wise, yeah, I'm all in.
Awesome.
When it comes to microtransactions, I don't like, yeah, because it's EA, I could see it. But again, it's like one of those things where it is like a single player game. So it's not like a pay to win over someone else. It's like it reminds me of the Assassin's Creed Odyssey thing where they had like the little microtransactions of like XP boosts and stuff like that, mm-hmm. which I like. I don't really like care if that's like how you want to like
play your
experience and play your game like that. Like, I think that's fine. If they add cosmetics, like that's totally like up to you and like on you. And I think mm-hmm. like, yeah, so I'm excited.
Number two, there's an update on The Last of Us Part II's multiplayer, and this comes directly from Naughty Dog's Twitter. They tweeted out like an image with a bunch of text, yeah. and it reads, "We wanted to address multiplayer in The Last of Us Part II. As we've stated, the single-player campaign is far and away the most ambitious project Naughty Dog has ever undertaken. Likewise, as development began on the evolution of our factions mode, and factions, if you're unfamiliar, is their multiplayer mode, mm-hmm. our factions mode from Last of Us Part I, the vision of the team grew beyond an additional mode that could be included with our enormous single-player campaign. Wanting to support both visions, we made the difficult choice that The Last of Us Part II would not include an online mode. However, you will eventually experience the fruits of our team's online ambition, but not as part of The Last of Us Part II. When and where it will be fully realized, is still to be determined, but rest assured, we are as big a fan of factions as the rest of our community, and are excited to share more when it's ready. Naughty Dog."
Okay.
How do you feel about that, Alex? Because I know, like, me and you played Factions together mm-hmm. on The Last of Us Part One a little bit, and I really enjoyed it. I think you enjoyed it.
Yeah. One of my favorite games is Gears of War, and I felt like Factions did. I almost said Fractions. This isn't a math game. Factions.
You do a lot of dividing, though.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Dang. But yeah, so like it's a mode wherein, like, I think you mentioned yesterday on the show, where you can listen and use those kind of mechanics from The Last of Us single player game. But I love the format of it, wherein I believe it's one kill and you're out of the round, right?
Like, yeah,
if you get killed, you're out of the round.
In the survivor mode, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And that ties back to my love for Gears. But this is very exciting to me, because I was definitely one of those people. I know that there's been, you know, discourse online about like, oh, you know, it doesn't really need multiplayer. I think a lot of us do enjoy The Last of Us multiplayer, though, like you said.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm really excited.
Yeah. Frankfurter writes in and says, "Good morning, Blessing and Alex. Yesterday, you and Pear had a good discussion about the fate of online multiplayer for The Last of Us Part II and its future possibilities. There was also a good discussion on the subreddit about how the best friends felt. Later that day, Naughty Dog released a statement that we will eventually see an online mode slash game of some sort, but that it may not be The Last of Us related. Do you think multiplayer will be added onto The Last of Us 2 after release, or will we see some sort of new IP from Naughty Dog that will introduce a Last of Us-esque multiplayer with other modes? Interested on what you think will happen. Thanks again for all you do, Frank Furter."
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How integral is the lore and the characters of Last of Us to the factions multiplayer?
Not really.
Like, is anybody out there like, oh, I'm playing as Joel, let's do this. A lot of times you're playing as side characters, right?
Well, no, you're playing as like unnamed survivors.
Okay, that's what it was.
Essentially,
okay.
Yeah, you're not playing as any of the characters.
Okay, there you go.
Which I think you do in the Uncharted multiplayer. I've not played much of the Uncharted multiplayer.
You do play as like named
in
characters.
In 4, yeah, it was like unlocking named characters.
And that's the thing, like in The Last of Us multiplayer, right? Like the characters aren't integral, really. The story isn't integral. The world is kind of integral.
It is.
But it's not like you can't take those same mechanics and put them into a different world, or like make like a different story around what's going on there. Like, it could even still be post-apocalyptic, but maybe not in The Last of Us. Maybe it is like a different type of apocalypse.
And I don't mean to bring the game up so much, but Apex, we saw Respawn take the Titanfall 2 engine and make it into a new IP.
Yeah.
That is, and it's still part of the universe.
Yeah, it's still in the Titanfall world, right?
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's worked out swimmingly for Apex.
Yeah.
Or for Respawn. But I would love to see something like that and give them a chance to expand their portfolio. And yeah, maybe it's tied into the world, maybe it's not. But I think at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, the main mechanics and main systems of that multiplayer mode, crafting, the one shot, one kill, the one death, you're out.
You're killed, you're done.
Down and out, those sort of things, I think, are what make that experience so fun. And so I feel like they could get really creative. And yeah, maybe it is The Last of Us universe, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like it could be bigger than just a multiplayer mode if they do it right. You know what I mean?
Because, like, looking back at this last paragraph they write, right, they say, however, you will eventually experience the fruits of our team's online ambition, but not as part of The Last of Us Part 2. When and where it will be realized is still to be determined. But rest assured, we are as big of a fan of Factions as the rest of our community and are excited to share when it's ready. Nothing about that tells me that this is going to be The Last of Us.
Yeah. Right? It was very non-committal as far as...
Yeah, as far as, like, what IP or what the game might be.
I think that's exciting.
I also think that's exciting, especially for talking to Pear yesterday on this show.
Mm-hmm.
He actually, like, floated the idea that I didn't think about the fact that, like, this console generation is almost over.
Yeah.
Right. You imagine the PS5 comes out next fall. And so, you know, what's the point of releasing a multiplayer game?
If it's going to die off.
If it's going to die off in a year. Right.
The next wave.
And you imagine, like, Last of Us Part 2. Whether it is through backwards compatibility or a re-release of some kind, right, is going to make its way onto PS5. And so, like, you know, it could be a thing where they package it with that, right? They package it in Last of Us Part 2. Or it could be a thing of, like, yeah, like, when we release Last of Us Part 2, we do that, and then maybe a year or two later, we release whatever this multiplayer thing is going to be that takes the heart and soul of the Last of Us Part 2 factions mode. Either way, I'm pretty down for it. My one fear would be the fact that, like, you know, we talk about Apex Legends and compare it to that, right? Apex Legends is a free-to-play game.
Yeah.
And one of the issues I did have with The Last of Us Part 1's multiplayer mode was the fact
pay-to-win.
Yeah, it was.
And there were some aspects of that.
There were a little bit of the pay-to-win elements. It was a shotgun specifically that I remember just being frustrated by because the shotgun would destroy me.
You could see them, like, coming. You're like, oh, it's over.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know how much faith. Like, I have faith in Naughty Dog as a, you know, storyteller and a developer of single-player games, right? And, I mean, they do a good job with multiplayer, too, but I don't know how much faith I have in them as far as, like, making a games as a service, if that is what a multiplayer-focused thing is going to be from them.
I think also, like, this wave of games as service titles really kind of got started after The Last of Us released.
Mm-hmm.
It came out in 2013. I feel like, if I'm not mistaken, like, that wave kind of started with, like, Destiny in, like, 2014?
Yeah, that was, like, definitely a big, like, splash.
That was a big, I feel like we've come a long way, and I think, like, the industry and community has been very outspoken about expectations now, and I think they can certainly learn from what they did in the first game. Like, I'm not really too worried about that, honestly, but...
Number three, there is a weird Pokemon Sword and Shield live stream announced for next week. This comes from Kevin Nezovic over on GameSpot. It reads Pokemon Sword. I don't know where I got Power Sword
Power
from.
Sword, dude.
Power Sword sounds like an awesome weapon. Yeah. Pokemon Sword and Shield are less than 2 months away, and the Pokemon Company is hosting another live stream ahead of the game's launch. The next one is scheduled to begin next Friday, October 4th, but it will be a little different from previous streams. Beginning at 6 a.m. Pacific time and 9 a.m. Eastern time, the Pokemon Company will broadcast 24 hours of, quote, live footage from Glimwood Tangle, a forest area in the Galar region. The stream is presented as research being conducted by Sonia, the Professor Magnolia's assistant and granddaughter, to observe Pokemon in their natural habitat. I don't know if you've been following Pokemon at all.
I have. I'm looking forward to the game. It's been. Yeah. I'm one of those people. I don't like seeing the Pokemon. I know they love to reveal those.
Yeah.
I don't want to know the Pokemon that are in the game. I'm definitely one of those people who. Let me clarify for people who aren't aware. It's been a long time since I've played a Pokemon game like this, and so
same.
I'm very much going into it like with. I want to try to rekindle that excitement that I had as a kid, and not know what is in the game. I know a lot of people love to know that, so it's totally cool. But I have kind of been. I've taken a step back as far as like the coverage goes.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm wondering how they're going to do a 24-hour stream
from
one zone.
Yeah, I'm like,
and here's this.
You have 24 hours worth of, like, content to show?
Here is my prediction. Because this is the area, I believe, where, like, you can just see kind of Pokemon roaming free and shit, right?
Mm.
I wonder if it's not them playing the game. Like, I wonder if it's just, like, a character hanging out like, and you just, like, it's, like a 24-hour, like, kind of, like...
Loop, the ambient?
Not even a loop, but you're just watching...
A time lapse in a way?
Yeah, or, like, yeah, watching these Pokemon word, just yeah. exist in their environment.
Yeah.
That would be very creative.
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially, like, if, like, the systems that they have at play in this game, like, support that sort of thing, right? Mm. Like, if this is the type of Pokemon game where it is, like, yeah, hang out and, like, watch these Pokemon like roam around and interact with each other and see
a wild Pikachu just murk like a Sobble or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like
out of nowhere too.
Yeah, like, whoa.
Like, oh wow, survival of the fittest.
We
really
see it in crimes on here. What's going on?
Pokemon has changed. Yeah, I expect there to be new Pokemon reveals. I expect that's really all I can really say. I expect. I'm like you where I haven't played Pokemon for a while. Like
we played Let's Go.
Yeah, we did play Let's Go Pikachu.
But that was kind of like a different experience.
I think. And that was like, you know, it's Pokemon Red, but kind of that retread. Like, I haven't played a new Pokemon since probably like Ruby and Sapphire.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to this one, mainly because I am ready to like get back into it. And so, you know, this stuff sounds interesting. And yeah, just so you know, Pokemon fans, that's happening. Number four, Mario Kart Tour smashes records on day one, hits 10.1 million installs. This comes from Adam Blacker on Apptopia, and it reads, Nintendo's Mario Kart Tour launched yesterday, racking up 10.1 million downloads globally. This is record-breaking for mobile game launches. On their launches, Super Mario Run, the iOS-only launch, generated 4.7 million downloads, and Pokemon Go, the previous record holder, did about 6.7 million downloads. And as an update from Sensor Tower, they report that Mario Kart Tour has actually been downloaded 20 million times
of
their time of reporting. Man.
Wow. So on the way over here, I downloaded the game to try it out. Because I knew it was coming. I didn't realize that it's kind of, you're kind of like on rails and you're drifting back and forth. So as far as the game goes, I'm curious what the reception is going to be from 20 million players.
Yeah.
And what their expectations are. Compared, because I mean, you look at, you know, Mario Kart Deluxe,
on Switch. There's a game there, right? And like when you come to Mario Kart, you come for like, I imagine for the most part for the full experience. And I know that since this is on mobile, people will probably have those expectations kind of rolled back a
bit. Sure, yeah.
But this is interesting, especially because like I feel like from what I've been hearing and seeing from people, a lot of people aren't really feeling the game. But it also kind of reminds you of the launch of Pokemon Go a little bit, because I know Pokemon Go at launch wasn't the best experience, right? Because like there are a lot of server issues. I know a lot of people were upset that like the battling wasn't there, right? Trading wasn't there, right? And it felt underdeveloped for what you wanted it to be for like a Pokemon game that's supposed to like take place in real life and whatever.
Yeah.
This is kind of struck me a similar way of like, oh yeah, it's a Mario Kart game that from what I see, because I've only played a little bit of it, so I don't want to fully critique it myself, and I can't really say.
Same here.
But like from what I've seen people say, people aren't loving it. But I mean, the game, I mean, looking here, right, the article continues. It reads, impressively, Mario Kart Tour has hit the number one overall rank in the iOS App Store in 93 countries. The game has a 4.7 rating on iOS and a 4.3 rating on Google Play. So maybe I'm just completely off in terms of how people feel.
So yesterday, my brother texted me to download the game. And I think there's also a misconception that I thought this game was multiplayer. We were in the car over here. Mm-hmm. And I think it seems like it might not be.
Yeah, Tim was talking about this on Gamescast.
Okay.
Like, it seems like it's trying to trick you. Mm. I think Greg looked this up, and yeah, the game isn't multiplayer, but it presents itself as being multiplayer, especially like it matches you with what looks like other players with their own usernames. Mm. And like a lot of the usernames are like, you know, written in different, like maybe in Japanese characters or you know, some like weird, like I forgot. Bear, did you say that there was a specific
one? One of the players I played against like yesterday or whatever was just like Gucci. And it's like,
yeah.
Which so it's like Nintendo making up these like weird like names or these like actual usernames that they're just putting on top of like bots or whatever. Yeah, it's confusing.
It's a little shady.
It's weird. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, but I think it does, it not being multiplayer, for me personally, saps a little bit of the appeal from the game. But, I mean, 20 million players is no joke. I think a lot of it, they were, at least on iOS, you could pre-order the game, like pre-download it or something like that.
Yeah.
I think it was you could pre-order it, and then once the game 4 a.m. or something, some early morning time hit, it would auto-download to your phone, your iPhone. I think that might play into how many downloads are on this are
yeah
are listed
know, like,
here.
I know Mario Kart is like a super popular game in general, right? And so the fact that you know you're putting what is already a game that is going to sell like crazy onto a wider platform as far as install base, right? Android and Apple, right? Like it is a recipe for, you know, blowing up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so just to continue the article a little bit, because I think there's some interesting tidbits here. They write, how does it monetize? Here's the quick and dirty. Ads? No. In-app purchases? Yes. Purchase characters, carts, gliders, loot boxes, etc. Subscriptions? Yes. A $4.99 a month gold pass with and they have a free 2-week trial, which unlocks the extra fast 200cc mode, obtain additional in-game rewards from racing, and gain access to bonus goals and exclusive bonus goals exclusive to gold pass holders. And so I'm interested to see what the numbers will be as far as, like, you know, sales numbers for this game, right? Yeah. Like what these microtransactions and the gold memberships and stuff, like what that pans out to, gold pass. I'm curious. This is gonna be interesting.
Yeah, it's still very fresh. So
it's fresh. Yeah.
Next week, I'm very curious.
And we were talking on an earlier episode about, like, Nintendo not necessarily having like the best run with their mobile efforts.
Yeah.
And so this might be a win despite like mixed reception.
Yeah. I don't know
the game.
I don't know.
Number five, Capybara Games co-founder Nathan Vella is leaving the studio after 16 years. And this comes from Alyssa McAloon on Gamasutra. Alyssa writes, Nathan Vella, one of the founding devs behind Below developer Capybara Games, is departing the Canadian studio he helped found back in 2003. Vella made the announcement on Twitter earlier today, sharing that the shift will ultimately see him departing both Cappy and the city of Toronto for a position at a yet unnamed game company. Quote, I'm so proud of what this team has accomplished, and I've been so damn lucky to work alongside some of the best, most talented, most caring humans in game dev, writes Vella. Quote, Cappy's in an amazing spot these days. I'm certain their best work is yet to come. It'll be sad to watch from afar, but I'll always be Cappy's biggest fan. Huge thanks to the team, old and new, for trusting and helping me. Same to our many great partners and friends. It's been an honor, end quote. You like a lot of Capybara games, right?
I do. Sword and Sorcery, Super Time Force. They just put out Grindstone on Apple Arcade. That's really good. So I love Cappy games.
Awesome.
But yeah, I'm very curious where Nathan lands.
Yeah.
I assume if you're leaving, like, Cappy is, you know, a well-known studio, and, he built it, you know, he helped build that legacy. So I feel like whatever is coming is going to be really big.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah. Good luck to Nathan Vella.
Absolutely.
And I'm very curious on where he goes. And number six, our last news story, streamer with cerebral palsy gets huge follower boost from Borderlands 3 community. This comes from Jared Carvalho over on Game Rant. Jared writes, Twitch has done it again, going the extra mile to brighten the life of a disabled man during his Borderlands 3 stream. From multi-streamer charity events to the support of marginalized streamers, there is no limit to how wholesome the community within Twitch can be. The streamer in question goes by the moniker the_disabled_Tron, a reference to his cerebral palsy, and has been streaming under the name for the past 3 years. While the_disabled_Tron has had marginal success over the years, giving him enough of a following to net one emote, a sign of having earned affiliate status, his Twitch following exploded overnight, reaching nearly 7,000 followers at the time of this writing.
Oh, that's cool.
And hopefully growing quickly. This new following comes from a Reddit post shouting out the disabled Tron that's reached over 12,000 upvotes at the time of this writing. So, yeah, I included this new story because, like, I think it's always a good reminder that, like, the gaming community, like, can be great,
yeah,
right? I think,
yeah,
like, especially being on the internet and being on social media and being on, like when you pay close attention to comments and what a lot of people, like, I think Greg talks about the vocal minority all the time, right?
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
There is a lot of negativity out there, there especially is. Like, especially in the gaming community. And so, like, I feel like we need a reminder that, like, great things like this can happen, right? And yeah, people, you know, go out there, support, you know, find somebody who you want to support. It looks like, Barrett looks like, yeah, I'm gonna finish. Okay. There's breaking news. But yeah, no, I mean, to wrap it up, right? You know, be good to people. Mm-hmm. And this is an example of how to be good to people, right? Support streamers that you think deserve to be supported. Go out there.
The underscore disabled underscore Tron, right?
Yeah, on Twitch if you want to find their channel and support them, right?
That's super cool.
That's awesome. I guess I'm adding a seventh news story because there's oh wait, really?
Yo,
are you serious?
It dropped right when the show started.
Dude, okay, go back to the tweet because I want to read the tweet. So a seventh news story comes from Apex Legends Twitter, and me and Alex are very excited about this because both of us really love Apex Legends. We have an Apex Legends podcast.
Yeah.
This tweet reads, "Welcome to the World's Edge, a new Apex Legends map where molten heat and chemical ice collide. Join our cast of legends, including the newest legend, Crypto, on the dropship as they're whisked from Planet Solace towards the World's Edge on Planet Talos."
Let's go!
Let's freaking go, dude!
A new map?
We didn't think this was gonna happen.
No, we didn't. We thought this was
Like, we thought maybe like next year. Yeah. All
right.
Whoa. Okay. So we're watching. Barrett's pulled up the trailer for people that are watching on video. It looks like it's a new
Mirage is sitting on a couch. Oh, yeah. They're on a ship together.
Okay. It's a CG cinematic, and it looks like they're setting up what the story is going to be.
All the heroes are together on the ship.
Yeah. Man.
I'm so excited, dude.
Dude, that's awesome.
Show me the map.
Ice and Molten.
Ice and Molten, yeah. So there were leaks, data miners had brought up that they thought it was going to be called Fire and Ice, but it's called Molten. What is it called? We'll see it in a second.
Yeah, we'll see it in a second.
There's Crypto, the new hero.
Crypto. And if you're unfamiliar, there was a CG trailer that came out earlier. I think either earlier this week or last week. It was last week because we talked about it.
Yeah.
Where it kind of showed off.
Holy cow.
It introduced the character of Crypto, who I believe has a sister.
Yeah. So Crypto's backstory, it looks like his sister was kidnapped or something like that. And Crypto's kind of getting revenge.
So in the CG that we're watching right now, the heroes just dived out of their plane to land on this new map, right? And
there's water geysers they're shooting up from.
Yeah.
Frozen areas.
Is frozen area the molten area?
Oh my gosh.
Also, they do a really great job with their cinematics.
They do.
For Apex
they
Legends.
Do. Fantastic.
It's like if you're not familiar, right? Overwatch does also a similar thing whenever they introduce new heroes, they have a new CG cinematic that they show off, right? And it's really good. They do a really good job of fleshing out the characters and making those great. Apex Legends kind of does a similar thing.
They do different art styles.
It's definitely a way different art style, right?
Yeah.
But
this is looking very exciting.
Yeah, this is looking awesome.
I think one of the things about King's Canyon, which is the current Apex Legends map, is that as far as biomes go, it's a little one note. And this is almost like adopting a philosophy, like the Fortnite, right? It is, you have all sorts of different biomes on the map, and it's got every playthrough feels, I feel like, very interesting. Like, you can land in snow, in the desert, in the grassland, and this is very much kind of bringing that vibe to Season 3 for Apex Legends.
Season 3.
You love to see it. Meltdown.
Yeah, and I think we were trying to figure out what Meltdown meant, and now we know.
Yep.
And that actually makes sense with the Fire and Ice.
Yep.
And that's coming October 1st for Apex Legends.
Tuesday, I believe.
Dude, but Alex Van Aken.
I'm stoked, dude.
Alex Van Aken. Tuesday is so far away.
It is.
If I wanted to know what is coming to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, we have The Adventures of Elena Temple for Xbox One, Tropico 6 for PS4 and Xbox One, Code Vein for PS4, Xbox One, and PC, Fight and Rage for Xbox One, FIFA 20 for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, Ori and the Blind Forest Definitive Edition for Switch, Mining Rail 2 for Xbox One and PC, Freedom Finger for Switch and PC, Memora for PC and Mac, Reign of Reflections for PC, Alcana 4 Rhythms Across the Blue for PC, Dragon Quest 11 for Switch, Dragon Quest Heroes 1 and 2 for Switch, Dragon Quest for are there just a bunch of Dragon Quest games coming to Switch on the same day?
Yeah, it's like a bunch of
it's like a package
games.
Or whatever. Quest and then Dragon Quest 2 and then Dragon Quest 3 all coming to Switch. Car Mechanic Simulator Pocket Edition for Switch. And Dreaming Canvas for Switch, Marshmallow Madness for PC, Nordlicht for PC and Mac, and Necrolepsy for PC. Deal of the day. There's more PlayStation hits that were revealed. And if you're unfamiliar, right, PlayStation hits are essentially the group of games that PlayStation kind of curates, and all those games are for $20, right? And this list is great because the list is Watch Dogs, Rayman Legends, Gran Turismo Sport, God of War, which is a huge one, for $20.
That's awesome.
That's a deal. Uncharted Lost Legacy, The Crew, and Far Cry 4.
Some of these are a little weird because I feel like some of them are kind of a
Far Cry 4, I feel like I could get markup for $20 or for like maybe $15.
All in all, though, this is really cool.
All in all, it's a great list, especially with Uncharted Lost Legacy and God of War. God of War especially, because $20 is a steal for that game.
It really is.
Let's see. There's also another deal of the day coming from Wario 64. Okay. It looks like there's a US PSN flash sale, which includes Control. Nice. Control Deluxe Edition. You can get Control for $48, $48 American, and the Deluxe Edition for $64 American. Dirt Rally. Looks like there's the Yakuza Origins digital bundle is on there too. So check that out. Go to Wario64 on Twitter. Give him a click and see all that is offered there.
Nice.
Now it is time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Upstart. As most of us have found out the hard way, getting to debt is easy. Getting out of debt is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. I know when Greg was first moving to San Francisco, he had credit problems that could have been helped out with Upstart. And you know, look where Greg's at now, right? He could be a lot greater if he had Upstart down here. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you, and they understand that. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check out to check your rate in just a few minutes. The best part, once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. The next day, over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Alex, I'm still sweating from the Apex Legends news, man. I can't wait to play on the new map. That's great. That's wild. October 1st, which is so soon.
It's awesome.
Let's get into your questions. Arvel_Crinid writes in and says, "Hi, Blessing and Alex. First of all, this has been an awesome week of content. Blessing, thank you. Arvel. Really appreciate that.
You have done a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Very good job.
Now to my question. Today has been the release date of FIFA 20. To my knowledge, this is only the fifth game that EA has released for the Switch so far, next to Fae, Unravel 2, and FIFA 18 and 19. When I saw the cover of FIFA 20 today, I was shocked to see the label Legacy Edition, which means that only statistical updates and team updates have been made compared to last year's edition. Given the fact that the Switch version is not based on the Frostbite engine as with the original version of the game, and that Frostbite hasn't been ported to the Switch after 2 years, do you think that EA will ever support the Switch eventually within its life cycle? Thanks for this great week, Arvel.
So I remember about a month or two ago, there was an article that came out. It was an interview with a rep from EA, I believe, kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. And they essentially said that they were not necessarily prioritizing the Switch because their audience would rather play their games on PS4 or Xbox, PC or whatever, other platforms. And so I think that was very clear as to what their priorities are, at least right now.
Yeah. And like I remember hearing that quote and my heart being like, that can't be true, right? Like, FIFA on the Switch sounds like a thing that should sell. The Sims on Switch sounds like something that should
sell. Especially,
And what game was Arwell talking about up here? Talking about FIFA, yes.
Yeah.
And Faye and Unravel already on Switch. But yeah. I feel like sports games on Switch feel like something that should sell well. But my mind tells me that like they probably have the numbers.
Yeah.
They've probably done the number crunching.
I feel like also sports games are really lend themselves to like couch co-op sort of play, like yeah. playing with your buddies, and granted you can do all of
that. We're talking about sports games,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. I play a lot of online FIFA.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But also, like, you know, there is a lot of potential there for couch game. Like,
yeah. And I say that because that's the only reason I ever play sports games.
Yeah. And I mean, I think a lot of people get put onto sports games through like couch co-op.
Yeah. Going to my buddy's house playing.
Yeah,
Madden,
dude. Because I remember in college it was a huge thing to go over to the homie's house and we played FIFA a lot.
Okay.
Like FIFA was our thing that we did, right?
Yeah.
That and then like eventually turns into fighting games and Mortal Kombat. In Street Fighter, but I didn't play much Street Fighter because I was very bad at Street Fighter and Tekken and stuff. But like, you know, sports games, couch co-op in 2019, I don't know
not
what
so
it's
much,
like.
Not so much.
I mean, I don't know. It could be a thing where it's still happening. Like every now and then I'll have my brother-in-law will, you know, invite people over to hang out and play FIFA, right? And mm-hmm. so like, I'm sure it's a thing that's still happening. I'm sure that like that's still a huge like a big way in which a lot of people play the game. But yeah, online,
the prevalence
for sure,
of online plays.
Online is definitely like a thing that, yeah. that people do.
Okay.
Yeah. And so like, I don't know if EA will ever go fully in on the Switch.
I think they'll come around. That's my opinion.
You think so?
I mean, I think the attach rate from what we've seen is like super high and like, it's just like the Switch is constantly like having W's and like,
yeah, it is
growing more
like
and more.
The Switch audience is only growing. Yeah. Right? The Switch is selling like crazy.
I think eventually you have to like look at that platform and say, okay, maybe there's a way mm-hmm. to bring our games in a smart way to the Switch.
And I would like to think that that's the way EA thinks, but EA is such an interesting company because like they very much stick to like kind of what they do.
Yeah.
Right. Because like if I had to like play whatchamacallit, armchair quarterback or whatever, right,
mm-hmm.
for EA, I'd be like, dude, like, you know, make exclusive Switch games. If you feel that porting these games to the Switch is just going to put people off because like people rather play the other versions because they're the better versions, right? Then like, you know, do like some, I don't know, make NBA Street for the Switch, right?
Oh my
or like
gosh.
Do like, you know,
that'd
make some sort of like exclusive like that's Switch great, titles yeah. because there's and make it from the ground up for the Switch so that you don't have that problem of like, you know, an inferior version.
Yeah.
I feel like there's
you,
something
you got
there,
me very excited when you said NBA Street.
But I don't think they're going to do that is the thing. Think like I think there's something there, but I don't think that's what EA, I don't think that's the way they think.
Yeah, yeah. We can dream though.
We can dream for sure. BJ Bernardo writes in and says, hi, y'all. I, for one, welcome our new OK Beast Overlords. And Blessing, great job this week. Thank you so much, BJ Bernardo. And I, too, welcome the OK Beast Overlords to the Kinda Funny. I love storytelling in games. And, man, after seeing all these story game trailers, am I excited for what's coming? So I ask you guys, is storytelling in games the best it's ever been? What story are you most excited to play through out of all of the upcoming games? What's your favorite storyline in games? Thanks, BJ.
Good question.
Yeah, I think I think storytelling is better than it's ever been.
I agree too.
Especially with like the prevalence of like the indie space and like way
absolutely.
More diverse voices having access having access to the ability to be able to even like just tell a story, whether it is through like, you know, something like Undertale, which is like a I want to call it a JRPG, but I know it's not really a JRPG, but
sure.
it's a RPG inspired by games like Earthbound, right? That game has such an interesting, fun, quirky, unique story that it tells.
Mm-hmm.
It's great, right? Or you can look at something like Gone Home, where it is like a walking sim that is meant to really engross you into this environment and tell you this slow plotting story through that isn't bogged down by combat, isn't bogged down by extra mechanics, right? They're just like, hey, explore this house, have fun, learn what's going on here, right? Like,
totally.
The ability to do that has allowed video game storytelling to come such a far way, not to mention stuff like dating simulators and like, you know, Doki Doki Literature Club is a game.
Subsurface Circular. Like you can get like really you can get some really unique experiences now. And as far as like, you can also get, you know, The Last of Us
and
like all these AAA games.
On the AAA side, right? Like technology has come such a long way that like you can see like the facial expressions in The Last of Us Part 2 trailer.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't get that right on the PS2, right? You couldn't like really like feel you know, what was going on in Ellie's head, right? The way that you do in The Last of Us Part 2 trailer. Mm-hmm. And that's only because, like, video game technology has come a far way, along with, like, the fact that, like, yeah, like, a lot of people
more
have...
More voices in the space.
More voices, different types of ways to tell stories with different genres and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think video game storytelling is the best it's ever been. But as far as, like, our favorite video game stories, Alex?
Favorite or upcoming?
Well, he asked for both.
Okay.
Favorite storyline. So let's talk about favorite storyline first, and then we'll get to upcoming.
Favorite storyline. This is tough. I think The Last of Us is great.
Mm-hmm.
Undertale is, you already mentioned it, but that is one of my favorite stories ever. The characters in that game, and just the world that they've built out, and such like a, it's a small package, but like it is just so creative, and I don't know. Undertale, Deltarune, all that stuff is very exciting.
I'm with you. We both really love Undertale.
Yeah.
Life is Strange is a big one for me. I love Life is Strange and Before the Storm. I really love those stories. Last of Us, of course.
I don't play, and I should say, like, I don't play as many. I think you play more story-driven experiences than I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think of things like Firewatch and
Firewatch, Walking Dead,
like What Remains of Edith Finch.
Yeah.
I love that game, so... Yeah,
I love the Metal Gear Solid franchise. It's probably my favorite franchise if I had to like narrow down, because like, you know, Metal Gear Solid 1, amazing. Metal Gear Solid 2, like crazy. Metal Gear Solid 3 is my favorite
one.
That's
can you recap the story of Metal Gear?
No.
Blessing, do you want me to make you really upset right now?
No, please, God, no.
Do you know the only Metal Gear game that I've ever played?
Which one?
Survive.
Why? Why? I know it was an IGN thing. Right?
Yeah, it was an IGN thing.
Okay.
Yeah, because you had to do gameplay and stuff. Dude, Metal Gear Solid 3, so good, dude.
I've only played 5. It was great.
5 is also great.
Yeah.
The game, like, but that's like more of like the gameplay there.
It was
great.
Like systemic gameplay.
The gameplay was great. Really cool. I like the story of Metal Gear Solid 5 too, but it's definitely like not the best Metal Gear Solid story.
Mm.
But yeah, from beginning to end, like, and that's more so a thing of like, I think the way they present that story and like the style of it, the cinematics, mm-hmm. The cutscenes, like all that stuff. And its presentation is awesome, but then like when you get into the details of what's happening, it's just so anime and so wild and so over the top, which is why, like, as far as like, you know, the upcoming game story I'm looking forward to, it's got to be Death Stranding for me. You know, even though like I know there's like a lot of trepidation as far as like what that game is and what it's going to be, but like I just really like the weirdness of Kojima. I like specifically Kojima's weirdness, because he is weird in very specific ways.
Yeah.
Where like I know like in Metal Gear Solid 2, right? In the beginning of that game, there are like ice cubes that you can find, and you can like I forget the exact detail, but if you place them in a certain place, right, they'll melt faster than if they were like next to like, or like if you separate them, I think they'll melt faster than if they're like close together. Yeah, like
that's
just
cool.
And like that's just one example of just plenty of details and a lot of Koji in like the Metal Gear Solid series, right? And so like I like the fact that like, you know, from what I've seen, there's Monster Energy drink and Death Stranding. I see that and I'm like,
let's go.
Yeah, that's I'm into like all the weird stuff, like the BBs or whatever they're called.
Yeah, the bridge babies.
The bridge babies, yeah. Like I see that. I see like the Troy Baker character when he like takes off his mask and puts it in the ground and then like pulls it up and then summons like a freaking wolf creature.
Yeah.
That stuff speaks.
It looks cool.
And so Death Stranding is definitely, like, of course, Last of Us Part 2, and of course, like, Cyberpunk, but Death Stranding, at least in the immediate future, is the one where I'm like, I cannot wait to dive into this. Yeah. What about you?
Favorites for me, I mentioned Last of Us, Undertale. Celeste last year was a really great one. Those are probably my picks.
What about your upcoming, though?
Oh, upcoming, I'm sorry. Upcoming Animal Crossing, even though that's not really, like... You don't really go to Animal Crossing for the narrative. I mean, it's like, what's Tom Nook going to be up to next? But, probably Cyberpunk. Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
You know, same as you, I guess.
Halo Infinite?
Oof. Yeah. When Chief was floating in space and they wiped the fog from the glass in the last trailer. That gave me chills.
Are you excited for the Modern Warfare story for the next Call of Duty?
Yeah, you know, going into, before this last week, before we saw the trailer at State of Play.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm excited. I like Captain Price as a character. Modern Warfare 1 is one of my favorite games. So I'm excited to see what they do next with that set of characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then after watching the trailer, I was kind of blown away, honestly.
Yeah.
So I am very excited for that.
Yeah. Now. Like, I'm not, like, I've never really been in love with any of the Call of Duty campaigns, but watching that trailer, I was like, Yeah, this one, this might be the one.
Yeah.
Borison00 writes in and says, good morning, Blessing and Alex. Logitech buying Streamlabs seems like a big deal, but is it? Corsair bought Elgato last year, but besides a few things, there is still known as... Borison, I'm trying to figure out what you're trying to tell me right here, man. Besides a few things, there it's still known as Elgato, and people recognize... It is still known as Elgato is what I think he's trying to say.
Yeah, yeah.
And people recognize the Elgato brand. Is Logitech just acquiring Streamlabs just to have some streaming stuff in their library? As I think everyone starting streaming or streaming now has a Logitech cam or two. Thanks for everything you have done this week, Blessing, and you have been amazing. Thank you so much, Borison00. But yeah, Streamlabs is buying Logitech. I didn't include that in the news rundown because I feel like I didn't know if people would be really passionate about that news story.
Yeah,
but
I'm particularly not... That's just me. Like, yeah. I think you know, seeing these big companies come together to make form partnerships to make things easier for streaming and just playing games. That's all cool and all. I'm not like super passionate about it. Like, but
yeah, I think this makes sense, right? Logitech and Streamlabs, because I believe I have a Logitech webcam.
I have a Logitech mouse.
Yeah, and like, you know,
I own Logitech products.
Like. I know, is it Elgato that did, they have like the green screen.
Oh yeah, Elgato makes some cool stuff.
Yeah, like they make really cool hardware and stuff. And so I think like, you know, a partnership, especially seeing like the growth of streaming and all this stuff, right? Like a partnership makes sense so that you can have those things of like, oh yeah, Streamlabs integration with, you know, your webcam somehow. Yeah. I don't know, man. Maybe they can make a special streaming webcam.
I think it's also nice, like Elgato makes great products. I think competition is also nice, you know, to make things maybe more affordable. If possible, but yes, having Streamlabs get in the space or as far as like hardware goes and Logitech into the software side, it's cool to see them merge together for sure.
Last question comes from Frank Furter. They write in and say, good morning, Blessing and Alex. Mortal Kombat is getting a raid mode. I'm just as bewildered as you probably are, but I'm excited to hear about it, especially after getting the news that there is no Last of Us 2 multiplayer yet, and that Call of Duty is locking a mode out for other platforms. I'm not a fighting game person, but I love hearing that a game is trying something new and letting people play it for free. Is there a game type slash mode you'd like to see put into your favorite game? If so, what? Thanks for all you do, Frank Furter. Now, I really like Mortal Kombat 11.
Yeah, you do.
I saw the news of a raid mode.
What were your first impressions?
Whatever. I don't know the details. Maybe if I read the details, I might be like, oh, sure. Let's go.
But it's kind of a weird thing, like three-player raid. Like raid mode?
I imagine what it'll be. It'll probably, the details are probably already out there, so I'm probably just like speculating for nothing.
Sure.
But I imagine it's probably like one of the towers. You and two friends are like competing in the towers at the same time and contributing to like an overall like score or whatever to try and like finish a tower. Maybe like you're doing the same challenges. Maybe all you guys have to finish the challenges at the same time or something. Like,
I wonder if that, like, as a fighting, I am awful at fighting games. I wonder if it's something that, like, I could team up with you run me through this dungeon, and like we run through this tower together or whatever, and maybe you like teach me some, like, it's almost like you know, like you can maybe teach your friends, or
because like
I'm sure that's not the intention, but
maybe it could be a way that, because we did the Destiny 2 raid together, like the first one, right? The Kalos dungeon or whatever. Yep. And we did that, and you know, I had people like you, right, who are shooting what's the word, savants? What's the word? Like, sure, you know, sure. You're shooting game experts, right?
Okay.
You know what you're doing when it comes to like a raid in Destiny 2.
Listen, I know my way around a gun.
Yeah, like I had like you, Rihanna, Numair, and you guys like all are like better at Destiny 2 than I am.
Sure.
Right, and so like you guys were able to like kind of pull me through in that way. Mm-hmm. And it was a great experience for me as somebody who wasn't like too hardcore into Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so like maybe it could be one of those things. I doubt it might be.
That's probably not the intention, but you know, you never know.
But you know, as far as Frank's question here, right? Like, I'm not like a fighting game person. I'm trying.
What modes would we want added to some of our game?
Yeah.
Other games.
Yeah, I would like to see a multiplayer mode added to Last of Us 2. But,
man, I'm still thinking about the Apex news. I'm trying not to talk about Apex all the time. I've been wanting duos for a while on that. I've been trying to think. I play a lot of like multiplayer games, and so I don't really have like crazy modes to add, but I'm trying to think of like a game that I've been playing. Control. I don't know, like a score attack. I don't know. I feel like you have like so many different powers in that game. It'd be cool to like have some sort of
and honestly like I
speed run or test, you know, that you could do, you know.
One of my minute issues with Control was like how much they tried to gamify it as far as like all these like the mod system and the upgrade systems and like the like a lot at certain points it could feel kind of like, okay, you guys are just throwing enemies at me.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so for Control, I think it'd be awesome if they were like, okay, we're gonna scale back that stuff in the main story and make this more about the experience. And then in a separate mode, we're gonna make it all about the gameplay experience. Since like,
because it feels awesome.
Because it feels awesome to play. Yeah, it does. Right. But I feel like, you know, for Control, as far as like some of the single player stuff goes, right? Like I feel like, you know, the way that at certain points it could just feel like a monster closet sort of deal over and over again. Like that could have definitely like helped if they just did a separate horde mode for people who wanted to just like have fun and do that.
Yeah.
Now it's time to squad up. Let's see. Barrett, where do people write in if they want to squad up? I don't know if I've been doing that at all this week.
You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames at the bronze tier to put in your squad ups for Kind of Funny Games Daily.
Awesome.
There you go.
Riley wrote in with a squad up and says, "What's up, Kind of Funny crew? So this Monday, the first expansion for Marvel's Ultimate Alliance 3 comes out, and I've been grinding up my characters as I wait for that sweet, sweet Marvel Knights action. There are still some Infinity Rifts I can't 3-star because of the AI, so if you'd like to team up and create your own Alliance, then hit me up. I'm usually online in the afternoon and also around 10 p.m. Mountain Time. But this
shout
weekend,
out to Mountain Time.
Yeah, shout out to Mountain Time. That's where Alex is at. But this weekend, I'll be online consistently during both the days and nights. Thanks so much, and hopefully I'll see you in the game." They give their Switch code, which will be in the YouTube comment, or not comment, YouTube description, but it reads SW-7269-0329-4206. Nintendo.
You gotta, come on.
But also, shout out, they got a 69 and a 420 in there. You know,
wait, do they really? They
yeah,
do
they
have
do.
Both those. In,
wow.
Whoa, what a pull.
You're lucky.
Man, congrats, Riley. Now it's time for Kind of Funny. Or now it's time for You're Wrong. Let's see here. Okay, today's the 27th. Man, this doc is interesting. All right. Dabish 420 writes in and says, "Blessing said Alex was from OK Beast, but we all know he's really from Pixel Pulse Radio. Hashtag never forget."
Dang, that
wow.
is a pull right there.
Throwback.
What a deep
throwback.
Cut. Before Alex was part of OK Beast, Alex did Pixel Pulse Radio with Brandon Wilson, but then OK Beast acquired them.
We merged.
Yeah, he did merge. It was an equal thing, but
wow.
You know, we all know the truth.
Great correction.
Let's see here. The nanobiologist says EA and Respawn have already confirmed that there will be no microtransactions or loot boxes in Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Let's see here. People are telling me about the Apex Legends thing, which we've already covered. The nanobiologist writes in and says, Sekiro Twitter is hinting at a new Sekiro announcement, which will probably be DLC, and they'll probably talk about that on the next games daily.
Yeah. That's cool.
Man, there's a lot here, and people are just saying things. Nanobiologist is passionate about You're Wrong, man.
I dig it.
But I mean, they do a great job, so. Cameron Hawkins says, "Blessing said EA should put NBA Street on Switch, and I want to clarify that it should specifically put NBA Street Volume 2 Remaster." I agree. That's not a You're Wrong, but I agree.
But yeah,
we'll wrap up there. Alex
sounds good.
Van Aken, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Bless. You've done a great job.
Greg Miller, thank you so much for having us here.
Blessing.
Yes.
And obviously Alex, too. Thanks for coming. Alex, whatever. But Blessing, yeah. I mean, more importantly, thank you so much for doing this whole week. We didn't think it was right to not thank you on your final episode. Usually, you know, one of us is on for your final thing. But it's been, for me personally, you know, with what we're trying to accomplish here and what I want our future to be, it's been a dream come true to see you come in here and succeed and crush it and be awesome on all these shows and have all these great guests and be phenomenal and go on GameSpot. And I'm very sick of being included on tweets from people that I know saying how great you are and getting text messages about how amazing you are. But you came in here and absolutely crushed it this week. So thank you so much.
You did.
I appreciate it, guys. I still got a screencast, but like, let's be honest, who listens to screencasts?
Dang.
Oh, snap.
Dang.
Yeah. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.